This is Skyline Chili Cincy 360, about Cincinnati, from Cincinnati. Sponsored in part by Skyline Chili. Stop by Skyline Chili for a three-way or cheese coney today. Feeling good? It's Skyline time. This is ESPN 1530, Cincinnati's sports station. Here are James Rapine and Mo Egger.
The only thing that could make your Friday better, especially with this weather, it's wet, it's cold, there's reports of snow. I mean, did you see that?
Snow, Mo.
The only thing that can make your
it's
Friday
too early
better.
For snow.
It's Skyline. I mean, it's the warm chili. It's going to, dude, we got to go to Skyline after the show. I'm going to just say it now.
Why can't we be doing the show from a Skyline chili where I could be inhaling cheese conies while we talk?
And I could just yell about Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant's going to be on the field potentially at PBS.
The only thing that would make that tolerable would be a three-way.
That's right. Okay. No, we're not going to yell about Dez Bryant. No Dez Bryant today.
No, instead you're going to beat me over the head with John
Dez
Ross.
Dez Bryant. No Dez Bryant. Stucky from the Action Network coming up at 12:20. We'll play a little over-under as well. Preview a great weekend of local sports here in the Tri-State during Quick Hits. But,
yes,
Mo.
Yes.
Let's start. Sunday. Mm-hmm. It's Bengals. Mm-hmm. It's Saints. Mm-hmm. The Saints have won, was it, seven straight? The Saints have won seven straight games after their week one loss to Tampa Bay. Uh-huh. They've just beat what a lot of people assumed was the best team in the league. The LA Rams handed them their first loss of the season last week. I don't think anyone's picking the Bengals. Even the most optimistic Bengals followers are still assuming the Saints are going to win this game. Let's start with a chance. How much of a chance do the Bengals have Sunday to pull out a dub?
This is the least amount of optimism I have felt about a game this year. I felt better about the Kansas City game because the formula there was, well, maybe, just maybe, the Bengals can outscore them.
Mm-hmm. Clearly that didn't work.
It didn't work. And if the idea is to outscore the New Orleans Saints, it really helped to have A.J. Green, and the Bengals don't. Giovanni Bernard has not been he hasn't gone through a full practice yet. So, I mean, there's some questions about the offense in addition to a defense that hasn't been very good, and you don't have your best two linebackers, which means Alvin Kamara is probably going to have a big day. I'm not a fan of ever saying there's no chance, but I will tell you that of every game on their schedule up until this point, and even looking ahead, this is the one that I'm most pessimistic about.
Yeah, and honestly, I was thinking about it this morning, like, how did we get here? The Bengals are 5-3. I went on with Scott Sloan, and it seems like it is as gloomy as the weather when you're talking about Bengals' outlook. And I get it. I understand why. Let's talk about that for a second. Going into this game, the past month, what's happened? Let down on primetime. Mm-hmm. You lose to the Steelers in the final minute. You lose your best player. A win felt like a loss to Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
And you take an L on your bye week when your best player goes down. Like, and I didn't go in order there, but my God, like they've had.
You know what? It doesn't help. Doesn't help that the Steelers hung 52 on the Panthers.
That too. Bengals don't make a move at the deadline. People like me are like, Dez.
Right.
And he doesn't get brought in. Like, the past month has been, man, about as bad outside of and knock on wood, number 14 going
your
down.
Your head made out of wood. You just knocked on your head.
Yeah. It's made out of wood. Not a real boy.
Think of where we were on September 28th or 29th. The Bengals had gone to Atlanta, and it kind of felt like, wow, they survived those first 4 weeks.
Lance turned to me.
Yeah?
Because we went.
Oh,
we
went
with Ultimate Air Shuttle.
Yeah.
No, he turned to me when we ordered our Uber. We're heading back to the plane. He turns to me. He's like, can you believe they're 3-1?
Yeah.
And I was like, you're right. I was like, it's insane.
And it felt like this enormous hurdle had just been cleared, right? They're about to get Vontaze back. They've survived these injuries. Some of these guys that missed against Carolina and Atlanta were going to come back. And yes, you know, you lost Eifert in that game. Ross pulled up lame scoring the touchdown. But still, it felt like they cleared a hurdle.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like emotionally and otherwise, boy, three road games out of four. You had to get one of two between Carolina and Atlanta. You had won that game against the Colts that felt like it was slipping away. You had won that game against the Ravens that felt like it was slipping away. The offense was absolutely cranking, and we really felt good about this football team. That wasn't that long ago. It was four games ago. It feels like an eternity ago. Whatever day that was, September 28th, 29th, whatever that was, feels like it was last year. And it was basically in an NFL season, a quarter of the season ago. It wasn't that long ago.
It wasn't.
And it was only
three games ago.
Since then, underwhelming performance against Miami, a performance against the Steelers that I don't think was really underwhelming.
Four games
ago. They just didn't finish.
Mm-hmm.
Then they get destroyed by the Chiefs. The Tampa Bay game, you're right, it still feels like a loss. And then no activity at the deadline. You lose A.J. Green. Vontez gets sidelined. Boy, it doesn't really feel like this team is about to enter the home stretch of a playoff push, does it?
No, it doesn't. I will say this about the Tampa Bay game. They're good at coming back. They did so last week.
Yeah.
They still lost, but they did. And when you get hit with a veteran quarterback that isn't playing as bad as Jameis Winston, mm-hmm. you're going to put up points.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
right, so that Tampa Bay game, overall, them winning by three, that's about what I expected. I know it didn't feel that way because they were up by a lot at one
sure.
point. But, yeah, outlook for Sunday, it's not there.
No.
Is it an opportunity? Yes, and I'm not sure it's even an opportunity to win because I think even if they play their tails off, and two predictions that I've seen, Paul Daner Jr. of the Enquirer, 31-28, he has mm-hmm. the Saints winning by three, mm-hmm. which I could see the Bengals coming out and playing really well.
Yeah.
Pete Prisco has them losing by a point.
Yeah.
So I could see that. I could see them really battling at home. They know that all these people are thinking that they don't have a shot against the
right.
Saints, and I could see the Saints struggling a little bit. But Drew Brees gets the ball with 2 minutes to go and needs to go score. He's going to go score. So that's what I fall back to. Worst case for the Saints,
yeah,
they're going to win at the end.
So the reasons I think they can make this close and have a shot to win late are, number one, Andy Dalton
mm-hmm.
is having a good year. Number two, I believe this is a team you can throw against. All right, now without A.J. Green, you at least have the soft landing of a secondary that I do think you can throw against. There's a reason they went after Eli Apple. They're just not very good back there. And so I think the way Dalton's playing this year gives him a puncher's chance.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a quarterback who often gets blown out in games. Yes, it happened against Kansas City, but throughout his career, that's a little bit of an outlier. Unfortunately, the formula is use Joe Mixon, run the football, use as much of the clock as possible, keep Breeze off the field. The offensive line has been passable. You can do that against a lot of opponents. This Saints front has been very good against the run, held Todd Gurley to less than 100 yards last week. And if the Bengals fall behind 10-0 or 14-0, as much as I think Bill Lazor has done a good job with this offense, we have at times wondered, why have they gotten away from Joe Mixon? There's a part of me that thinks that maybe they're going to panic a little bit. I don't think you can do that against this team.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you fall behind by 14, nothing, you have to stick to the script. Now, at some point, there's a heightened sense of urgency where you have to deviate from what you're doing. But I wonder if, A, you can run it against this team, and what's going to happen if they fall behind by a couple of scores? Does it totally take them out of what they should do and what they want to do? And if they need a stop, if they need a sack, if they need a stop on third down, which they've been awful for most of the season.
Dreadful.
If they need to tackle Alvin Kamara in space, I don't trust anybody on this defense to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's like, you know, the Steelers game, we,
mm-hmm.
we hammered Dalton and Marvin and Lazor for scoring too quickly, and deservedly so. At the same time, can you get a stop?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
And they couldn't.
One.
Can you get a stop,
one stop
against an offense that at that time, that day, wasn't that overwhelmingly good?
How can you force a field goal attempt?
Against the Buccaneers, they tie the game. You know what? It's great that they come back and kick the field goal, but can you get a stop? The answer is no. Against Kansas City, sure, the offense melted down, but could you do anything resembling getting a stop? No, the answer is no. When you've needed this against the Falcons, can you get a stop? Not really. They haven't been able to get that when they've needed it since week two. I don't trust them to do it without the guys they're playing with, and frankly, with some of the guys playing the way they are against this offense. So that's why I have a hard time imagining them winning the football game. Do I think they're going to get housed 44-6? No. Look, people always default to that. They're going to get boat raced. They're going to get crushed. It's the NFL. Most games are decided within 8 to 10 points.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's going to happen. But winning the football game, I think the Saints cover the spread. I think they win reasonably comfortably. I don't think it's a huge, colossal, one-sided blowout. But I have a hard time thinking the Bengals can win this football game.
He's Mo Egger. I'm James Erpine. This is Cincy 360. You know who Marvin Lewis should have called this week?
Who?
And I don't mean Dez.
Oh.
I'm just clarify real quick.
Lay it on me.
Mick Cronin.
Yeah?
Here's why. I'm dead serious. Mick Cronin.
Yeah?
The Bengals should play a GCL high school basketball game on Sunday.
Well, Mick Cronin's not a GCL coach. He's in the American Athletic Conference.
He was. No, but he takes the GCL. How many times does he mention that? That's where he comes from. We talk about that, right? He played for LaSalle. And he gets it, right? Look, that's what you got to do.
Uh-huh.
Completely. Roger, the Bengals after Sunday should be investigated for deflating the taking the air completely out of the football on Sunday. slowly moving the ball. I would first drive of the game. Every single play would be, every single snap would be 1 second on the play clock.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I'd keep that clock running. That would have been the theme this week. Hey, we're going to keep our defense off the field as long as possible, because that means Drew Brees is off the field, and Alvin Kamara is off the field, and Michael Thomas is off the field. And if you can do that, and that doesn't mean just run it. It can mean quick passes to Joe Mixon, if Giovanni Bernard, if he plays, and I'm really interested to see how they use John Ross. I think they need to feature him, and obviously Tyler Boyd on pace for 98 receptions has been great this year. That's what I would do. Take the air out of the football completely. Hope your defense forces two turnovers in this game potentially.
Right.
And then maybe you have a chance, a chance. You need it to be like 20-17.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the type of game. The weather can help with that.
Right.
Obviously, it is supposed to be kind of dreary and cold and normal Cincinnati November weather. If all of that happens, maybe you have a chance. And I think all you can ask for, without A.J. Green, without Tyler Eifert, without all these pieces going up against what might be the very best team in the NFL, all you can ask for is a chance. I think that's your chance.
Yeah. No, I couldn't agree more. These games this season, I'm just trying to, like, run through all of them in my head. Many of them have not followed the script, but most of them have, if that made sense, right? The Panthers game was, hey, can you tackle McCaffrey? Answer was no. The Falcons game was, can you outscore them? The answer was yes.
Mm-hmm.
Frankly, the Kansas City game was, can you outscore them? The answer was no. Against Pittsburgh, it was, can you stop getting out of your own way? The answer was, like, the things we talked about during the week ended up kind of being what materialized, with some exceptions. And so, yeah, I think we all have a sense of how this game should play out. It's exactly what you said. The Bengals trying to control time of possession, using Joe Mixon, taking their shots with John Ross when they can, and I hope they do.
And shots don't have to be 50-yard bombs.
No.
Can we get him a slant?
No.
Can we get him in space?
Well.
Can you get him some kind of design?
This is why he was drafted. I mean.
Correct. I agree.
He was drafted to replace A.J. Green one day.
Mm-hmm.
He was drafted in the short term to complement A.J. Green, but he was drafted really with the idea of he takes over. Here it is, John. So, I mean, like, it's on him and it's on the offense, but you don't have to really reinvent a role for him. It's just, hey, the routes A.J. would run, you run them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like A.J.'s reinventing the route tree. He's having a very good year. And it's not like they have him streaking downfield. So what A.J.'s had success with, see if John Ross can have success with them. This is his chance.
And I think it will be interesting to see how they use him, how they feature him, how he's – because he has been a compliment. And now he's number two.
Right.
He's number two behind Tyler Boyd. And I think it's really a big stretch here for Boyd, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He's on pace for 98 receptions, right?
Yeah.
He can get an extension at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Imagine what that number could potentially be if you show the Bengals you can be the guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
A.J. Green has a year after this. It show them, oh, man, replacement to A.J. Maybe it is Boyd. Maybe he can be the featured guy in this offense out of the slot, and he can play outside when you need him to, and he can do all the things he did at Pittsburgh and continue his pace even against a really great corner like Marshawn Lattimore.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really big month or so with Green out for Boyd. I believe that. I think he could agree more. He can increase his – I think they're going to try to extend him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
He can increase that number if he has a really good month.
Yeah, can you be the man? I mean, can you be the man in a game like this? And by the way, Tyler Boyd, if you go back to his rookie season, I don't have his game logs in front of me. They had to play the final 6-7 games without A.J. Green. They had to play much of that without Giovanni Bernard. And Tyler Boyd was all right. He was okay.
Was he as productive
as he's been this year? No, but he was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry
to cut you off. I remember thinking they needed to feature him more his rookie year at the end.
Yeah, absolutely. So, no, but it's a huge opportunity for him, and it's a big opportunity for John Ross. I just think the entirety of what the Saints have been this season, I know it's going to be a bad weather game. Drew Brees is a quarterback who's played in every kind of condition. You know, I mean, he's played in every – as much as they're an indoor team and he's an indoor quarterback, and that has something to do with why his numbers career-wise are what they are. Drew Brees knows what it's like to play in the cold, and Sean Payton knows what it's like to prepare a team to play in the cold. I just, as much as all of these things sound good, the Bengals team that I've watched over the last month and the Saints team that I've seen here and there over the course of the entire season, that doesn't present a favorable outcome as far as I'm concerned for the home team.
They're kind of built for the cold now, which in the past they haven't been.
Yeah.
You just said their defense stops the run.
Mm-hmm.
They have Mark Ingram, who's a big physical back that they can give it to. Oh, and by the way, Ben Watson is.
Yeah.
Look out for Ben Watson this weekend. I think he's one of the more underrated. I don't know how he's still in the league, by the way. He's like 36.
Talk about
physical marvels.
Yeah.
He played for the Browns, the Saints, the Patriots. I mean, he's played all over. And if Dez is out there, what is he? He's a big physical target for Breeze. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of built for the cold, at least a little bit, versus in the past when it was Breeze has to throw it 50 times to beat teams.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the case anymore. They can win by handing the ball to Ingram and Kamara, getting the ball to those guys,
right,
and just death by a thousand cuts.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see. Real quick, before we get the Stucky from the Action Network, and you mentioned this at the top, the Steelers looked really, 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 really good yesterday. They beat the Panthers 52-21. 52-21.
First of all, speaking of Stucky and the Action Network, Cocky Moe told you yesterday in the afternoon, Steelers were going to cover, and as I put it, cover easy.
Ugh. Why do you got to be right?
You're welcome.
Why do you got to be right? No, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. That's a dagger to the Bengals AFC North hopes
I told you, head versus heart. Head wanted, or head thought Steelers, heart wanted Panthers. Nobody's talking about their locker room dysfunction now, are they?
No.
Nobody's talking about how Mike Tomlin's losing the team, are they? Nobody's talking about how, boy, that organization is spiraling out of control, are they? No, it feels to me like they're getting better and better every single week. I hate this, obviously. But they're in the conversation. It's a three-team hunt in the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
It's two that we thought was going to be, and then Kansas City. It's New England, Pittsburgh, and Kansas City, and the Steelers have jumped back into the fray and have done so emphatically. The door, I think, is still a little bit open if the Bengals can win one of these next two because of who Pittsburgh still has to play. But that's a good Carolina team,
mm-hmm.
and Pittsburgh hung 52 on them, and it wasn't close at all. Yeah, it is scary to think about how well that team is playing right now. Now it's 6-2-1. And the thing for me more than anything is, as much as you look at the number, defensively, I keep using this term, they're rounding into form.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody counted on that at the beginning of the year.
You patted yourself on the back?
Yeah.
Jimmy remembers this. I don't know. It was 2-3 games into the year,
mm-hmm.
and we were wondering if the Steelers could be there. I think they were one. Were they 1-1-1 or 0-1-1?
They were
0-1-1.
0-1-1.
0-1-1. We were talking about it. I was like,
and then
they're still favored in the AFC North.
Absolutely.
They're going to win the division.
Yes.
I mean, barring something unforeseen, barring an injury. The Bengals have been plagued by injuries. Steelers have had some, not nearly to the case of the Bengals. I mean, that matters a lot.
Yeah, no, they have the profile of a team. They have 7 games left. Can they win 5 of them? I think the answer is yes.
If I look at that schedule, probably.
I think the answer is yes. That's 11 wins and only 4 losses.
Oh, that's true. Look at you. 11-4-1 might get you.
11-4-1.
Yeah.
Math is hard.
11-4-1 could.
The Bengals aren't going 12-4.
I don't think it'll get them a bye because of Kansas City and New England, but might put you in the conversation.
Well, the thing about them is tiebreakers are not going to come into play unless New England or Kansas City gets a tie.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the head-to-head matchup certainly could shape how it turns out, but it's, you know, the fact that Kansas City beat them once, it's not going to come down to a head-to-head tiebreaker. We'll look at their schedule. I know they still have to play the Chargers, mm-hmm. they still have the Saints game, and they still have New England. I'm going to assume they can win one of those. And then it's
Bengals.
They've played the Browns twice and Ravens twice.
Mm-hmm.
They play Cincinnati, obviously, last game of the season at Heinz Field. And then I'd have to look. But, yeah, the way they're playing right now.
They still have Tampa Bay. I bet they still have Tampa Bay.
Even if they get
they don't.
Even if they get to 10 wins, that's 10-5-1. Are the Bengals going to finish 11-5?
No.
I mean, that would mean you got to win 6
out
of 8.
I think the best they get is 10-6,
yeah.
The Bengals, especially with the injuries they've had. He's Mo, I'm James. This is Cincy 360. We have a ton to get to, including the worst contract on the Bengals. But up next, Stucky from the Action Network is going to give you his bets of the week, and we'll play over-under as well as we roll on. He's Mo, I'm James. This is Cincy 360 on ESPN 1530.
Now Cincy 360 resumes. Brought to you by Safe Auto. Give us 3 minutes, save up to 25% on ESPN 1530, Cincinnati's sports station.
Welcome back into the Skyline Chili Cincy 360 show. I'm James Rapine, he's Mo Egger. And every single week at this time, Stucky from the Action Network joins us. You can follow him on Twitter at Stucky2. Stucky, we appreciate the time as always. Mo and I were talking about this Saints game. No one in Cincinnati really giving the Bengals a chance against New Orleans this Sunday. Are you?
Hey, gentlemen, how are you? I actually am. You know, this is, you know, one of those times where you have to, as a bettor in the NFL, you have to hold your nose, close your eyes, put the wager on the Bengals in, and hit submit. You know, they still have – this is a terrible spot for the Saints, coming off that emotional win. You're coming up to Cincinnati for an out-of-conference game, and it's, you know, it's just a flat spot. Now, there's the one thing that does give me hesitation is the number of injuries that Cincinnati has.
Yeah.
You know, I just wish they were fully healthy, but they still have a capable offense. And if you look at some of the underlying metrics, I mean, New Orleans is dead last in the NFL against number one receivers, number two receivers. They cannot cover anyone this year. So I think Cincinnati's going to find a way to move the ball, but the main handicap here is New Orleans is going to show up, and they're just going to be flat. And they're going to punt early. Cincinnati's going to get a couple scores. It's still the NFL where teams aren't that different. So I'm closing my eyes and betting the Bengals.
Look at that posted total, the 54, and it's kind of been that all week long. A feel either way for the over-under.
Yeah, I mean, on paper, I would tend to look at the over. But, I mean, if the handicap here is that New Orleans is a little flat, you know, I think that they might get off to a slow start, which might impact the total. So I think 54 looks about right here. So I'm staying away from the total.
The Action Network is the app that makes you a better with real-time spreads, decades of gambling-specific data and analysis, and the ability to track every bet you make. Download the free app at actionnetwork.com/app. Stucky is with us, and let's continue with some NFL games. Obviously, one underway yesterday. Does it change your long-term outlook when the Steelers roll a really good Carolina team like they did yesterday so handedly?
No, I mean, look, I don't really take too much away from, to be honest, from Thursday night games. I tend to try to not bet them. I try to not take too much away. You never know what version of a team you're going to get. There's just so much variance with these short weeks. You know, obviously their offense looked good. One of the things that you look at with the Steelers is their defensive back and, you know, their coverage, I think, is still remains very vulnerable. And when they play a team that has a good offensive line, you know, they did when the Ravens were healthy, when the Chiefs had their offensive line intact, and their defensive line, which is excellent, can't get to the quarterback, can't dominate the line of scrimmage. I think their defense is still in trouble. You know, Carolina's secondary is horrendous. They were exposed. Their offensive line wasn't the team to do it. You know, I think the Steelers have a pretty favorable schedule coming up until the end of the season. So, you know, it was impressive, but, again, it's Thursday night football. I love football, so I love that it's on, you know, as many days as possible. But from a betting perspective, I wish they would cancel it.
I don't know that we've had a week like this year, Stucky. There could be, by kick on Sunday, four games with double-digit totals. I'm looking at Chargers-Raiders. I'm not touching that one, but Green Bay giving Miami 10. The Dolphins have a good defense. Good enough defense, I think, to stay within that. The huge number, obviously, is Kansas City, 16.5, landed against Arizona. As good as the Chiefs have been, they've won one game by more than 17 points, and the Cardinals did play better with Byron Leftwich calling the plays. And then there's Seattle and the Rams, and as good as the Rams have been, they've played in a lot of close games. Do you have a read on any of these games this weekend with big point spreads?
Yeah, I mean, in, generally speaking, in the NFL, double-digit underdogs are my friend. You know, like I said before, teams aren't that different. This is in college football. And, you know, a lot of any double-digit underdog trend that you look at in the NFL usually is successful. So last week, a lot of favorites covered. So I think there's a little overreaction this week. I'll start with Kansas City and the Cardinals. What I am trying to figure out here is if the Cardinals can actually run the ball. This is the worst rushing offense in the NFL versus the worst rush defense. You could have some snow here, so, you know, which could slow down Kansas City's passing attack. Arizona can get to the quarterback. If I could just figure out, you know, if they can run the ball at all. I mean, they are facing the worst rushing offense. That's too many points. And, you know, at 17, you certainly have to look at the Cardinals, especially when you look at the weather. In regards to Seattle, you know, this is just 10 points in a division game is kind of crazy. Russell Wilson has played in 104 career regular season games since the Seahawks drafted him in 2012. He lost two games by more than 10 points. You know, he competes. I think they're going to be able to move the ball on the ground. So I would look at the 10 points with Seattle. And I actually am going to disagree with you on Green Bay and Miami. I mean, Miami comes into this game 5-4, but it might be the most fraudulent 5-4 in NFL history. I mean, they beat the Jets twice. They beat the Raiders. They beat the Titans with Blaine Gabbert in week one. And then they beat the Bears in overtime, which is a good win at home. But, you know, their offensive line is so banged up, which is it's just a nightmare. And Green Bay's strength on defense is their defensive line. So I think they're going to be able to get pressure to mask some of the problems they have on the back end. And Miami's just not getting any pressure on the quarterback, which is just a disaster for, you know, a Florida team going up to November. It's going to be in the 20s. I think it's a Rodgers get-right game after, you know, playing two of the best teams in the NFL, two of the better teams, I should say, pretty closely. So I would actually look at the Packers there playing 10, although that's not my cup of tea.
Stuckey from the Action Network is with us. Follow him on Twitter at Stuckey2. It's UC, it's UCF on Saturday night here in Cincinnati. Do you like one? Do you like one or the other in this one?
Yeah, I mean, after what we've seen the last few weeks, you know, you kind of had USF get exposed, you know, for who they are. I mean, they were playing Little Sisters of the Poor every week. So yeah, 14, it opened at 12 and it moved up to 14, I think is about right. You know, I keep going back and forth on Cincinnati's psyche here. Are they taking USF serious or are they looking at UCF? Because 2 weeks ago,
clearly I was looking at UCF. So when I said, so yes, I could see that happening.
So hopefully they're not doing that, but yeah, it's like, it's odd because 2 weeks ago USF is ranked, they're undefeated, they're a threat in the conference, and then, you know, they've gotten exposed here. So are they looking ahead to that UCF game? So 14 looks about right. I wouldn't put my money on this USF team. Now they're struggling. They're getting exposed when they're actually playing real teams. But 14 looks about right to me. I'm just excited for that game next week.
He's Stuckey of the Action Network, joins us every single week. Stuckey, we appreciate the time as always. We'll talk. Actually, before I let you go, Lamar Jackson next week for the Ravens. What do you think?
I know. I think it's time. You know,
nice.
It's just time for a new era. I think it wouldn't be a bad idea to have. You're gonna have a new GM. I don't think it's a bad thing to see what you have with him. New quarterback. It might be a new head coach, and you know, next year, and it's. I think it's time to do something, and so I'm excited to at least see what the kid can bring. Because, I mean, this season, I've said it all along, this season, we weren't going anywhere as a Ravens fan. I didn't expect much. So let's see what the kid has to help plan for the future.
Yeah, I hear you. It'll be interesting to see if he's on the field next week. I appreciate the time, as always.
Absolutely. Have a good one, guys.
Good stuff there from Stuckey. Lamar Jackson could be on the field next week against the Bengals. Stuckey's a Ravens fan.
Right.
That's why I asked.
Right. Now, if you're them, why not? You're coming off a bye. You've lost 4 out of 5. Harbaugh, who might not be there next year, has kind of acknowledged, look, Jackson's going to be our quarterback of the future. Flacco's not playing well. Team looks like he could use a spark. Why not just do it the way a college team would and say, hey, we're going to play him for a couple of series and a half and see where it goes. You're going to have the soft landing of a Bengals defense next week that's not that good. It's a game they have to have. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Dude, I'm all about it. Why wouldn't you see what he has and what he can bring? And it makes a lot of sense, especially when you're probably talking about a new head coach and obviously a new general manager. Mo, let's play over under.
It's time to play Over Under on ESPN 1530.
And before we get to Over Under, real quick, Jay Morrison of The Athletic reporting that Josh Malone out.
Wow.
Did you see that?
Yes.
Josh Malone out for Sunday. So that's big. Redmond, by the way, as well. Alex Redmond is doubtful. So we could be seeing Billy Price.
Yes.
At center.
Yes.
Trey Hopkins at guard. I think that would be most
likely.
That's
the combination that I've wanted to see. Now, I'd be okay if you put Price at guard and kept Hopkins where he is, but a lot of us have been yelling and screaming, Hopkins should still be on the offensive line when Price comes back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that fares. And if you're Redmond, I've heard this from Dave Lapham for weeks. Redmond's been dealing with the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
So now you get a bye week.
Yes.
You get the rest this week.
Yes.
Maybe you come back next week and you're able to go. But yeah, man, no Malone too. Get ready for Cody Core, Mo. Get ready for Cody Core. Let's dive into over-under. And New Orleans, they come in averaging 34.9 points per game, second in the NFL, only behind the Kansas City Chiefs. Over-under, the number of points the Saints score on Sunday at 35.
I'm going to go under. It's hard to score more than 35 points, even when you're playing a bad defense, even when you have a Hall of Fame quarterback. Throw in the weather. Throw in the fact the Bengals, I think, will try to control the football. I'm not sure they'll have success. I just, 35 is a lot of points. Even in this day and age, that's a lot of points. I'm going to take the under. Certainly don't think the Bengals are going to shut them down. But if forced to gamble either way, I'll take the under.
Yeah,
under
I think
35.
I would take the under too, because I think it'll be 31-17, 27-17 in that range with New Orleans. The Bengals are going to hang around, but I don't think that they're going to. There's never going to be a moment where it's, oh, the Bengals are going to actually have a real shot to win this game. It'll be close. It'll be within a possession or two. Hopefully Andy Dalton doesn't throw it away in the fourth quarter down two scores like he did last year. But I don't see it really being anything but the Saints kind of coasting a little bit. So 27-17, I'll take the under. 35 is a lot. You're right. And just in the kind of weather they're going to be in, I think it's a lot. I think they'll slow it down some. The Bengals will shorten the game. But the Saints still find a way to win.
Over under the number of targets John Ross gets on Sunday. He's averaging 3 per. No A.J. Green. Let's set the over under. And again, this is targets, not catches. There's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
5.5.
If it's under, honestly, if it's under on Monday and he plays the game and he's out there the entire game.
Right.
I'm going to be very upset. This game is, so I'll take the over. This game is about one thing to me. Obviously, they're going to go out and try to win because you always try to win. But you're going to be without A.J. Green. I keep saying a month because I really think it's going to be much more than just two games.
Agreed.
I think it's going to be a minimum of a month, and who knows? We'll see. But I think it's going to be a month. You need to figure out how to live without A.J. Green, how to play on offense, how to function, how to score 20-plus points a game without A.J. Green. And the game you have to win isn't this Sunday. It's next Sunday. So you know what you need to do? Get 15 some confidence. Get 15 out there. At least try. Now, maybe he has 18 drops, but you have to see, because let's say he does have a good game. Now, all of a sudden, you have him rolling a little bit. You're going to have Joe Mixon. I expect Giovanni Bernard to be really close to 100% next week at this time. And he's questionable for Sunday, by the way. Makes a lot of sense for me, to me, to get John Ross involved early often, not even just to beat the Saints,
right,
but for your long-term, let's survive without number 18. So I take the over.
I agree with you, and I'm taking the over too, but I think you're making it a little bit too much about the Bengals. It's on John Ross. Dude, get open. Complete your routes. Beat a guy. I mean, give Andy Dalton a reason to throw you the football. It's on John Ross, I think, more than them. Look, if they win and John Ross isn't a factor, I don't care. I'm looking for a roadmap to victory. If that means Joe Mixon gets it 55 times, sign me up. I'm with you, though. First of all, without A.J. Green, if you're going to throw it an average number of times and Tyler Boyd's the de facto one and John Ross doesn't have it his way, thrown his way more than 5.5 times, where the hell are you throwing the football to? I mean, just by default, I've got to think he's going to get 6 targets or more, but it's on John Ross. I don't want to be talking anymore about how John Ross didn't know the play. John Ross stopped his route. John Ross continues to not engender much goodwill from his teammates. Like, this is a big opportunity for him. And you're right. The Bengals have to figure out ways to move the football.
They haven't done him any favors.
They have done him no favors. He's done himself no favors.
Sure.
Here is an opportunity.
For both.
Step up for your team and for the Bengals to figure out how to use him. And again, I don't think they have to reinvent the wheel to do so.
No. I'm just talking about a screen. I'm not talking about a 60-yard
right.
ball.
Yeah.
Can he get a screen on the first drive?
Screen, a hitch, a slant, a bubble screen, a rub play.
Something.
Do something illegal like the Steelers. Something
yes.
remotely creative.
Slant?
Yes.
It doesn't have to be. I don't need a double backside reverse
no.
from Remember the Titans.
No,
all right?
I don't need a
breaking
flea
free.
Flicker.
No.
We don't have to go hook and lateral. We don't have to do any of that.
No, none of it. None of
and
it.
And I think they will try.
That's all you got to try. Try to set him up for success.
Mm-hmm.
And if he goes out there and he does what I think he can, then maybe you feel better about this offense going into the Ravens game. One more. Bengals are 5-3. It feels like they're 3-30, but they're 5-3. They're still very much in it.
It feels like they're Hugh Jackson.
That's right. It feels like this is the Hugh Jackson Bengals.
Yeah.
So at 5-3, 8 games left, you and I both think they're going to suffer an L on Sunday. Over under the number of wins the Bengals finish with this season, let's set it without A.J. Green, we assume for a month, let's set it 8.5.
Over. I think they win 9. Not deviating from it yet.
Because 9.5, you're taking the under. That's why I made it 8.5. It's
yeah,
kind of
9.5, I'm taking yeah. the under. I feel less good about this without A.J. Green,
mm-hmm.
but there's 5 games they're playing against what I think are inferior opponents. I don't think Baltimore's that good
mm-hmm.
yet. Cleveland, Oakland, Denver. I think they can win 4 of those games.
Yeah, I don't blame you for feeling that way. Here's my thing.
Mm-hmm.
Can the Bengals win the games they should?
Yes, I still believe they can.
And that's the question. Because if they don't, can they beat Cleveland twice?
Mm-hmm.
Up there is going to be tough. It will. It's going
right.
to be tough. I'm still with you. I'll take the 9. But, man, without A.J. Green, I'll know more how they lose. How they lose. How they look on offense on Sunday is going to
yeah.
tell me a lot.
How the offense functions
Correct.
Against a team that's not great in the secondary.
Because on Monday, we might look at that team and say, man, they're losing to Baltimore.
Right.
Even if Lamar Jackson's the starter.
Right.
So I think Sunday's it's a good time to show what 15 can do. You know who else is going to be active and out there? Auden Tate.
Yeah.
There you go. The
yeah.
Auden Tate
Here it
train.
Is.
Choo choo! All the fans can get on board, and I have no problem with this.
Take advantage of it, man.
Yes.
This is an opportunity. If you're a 7th round pick, this is what you sit around begging for.
Red zone threat,
right?
Like seriously,
yeah.
Like in the red
go
zone, why would he not have a package?
Go make a play. I'd be thrilled for the kid and thrilled for the team, and
mm-hmm.
and the opportunities are going to be there. This is how 7th rounders earn time in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
A series of things happen. You get a shot. Do you take advantage?
He hopefully does. He could vault. Let's say Ross and Boyd have big games,
mm-hmm.
and then Tate has a big couple of plays. He could literally vault to their 4th guy.
Yeah.
One Green
I
comes
hope he
back.
Does.
It'd be great,
yeah.
you know, because they're looking for that next guy. So it'd be interesting. He's Maul. I'm James. This is Cincy 360.
Got
up
an
next.
Interesting Reds nugget in the next segment.
An interesting Reds nugget.
Interesting Reds nugget in the next segment.
Plus quick hits and
yeah.
the worst contract on the Bengals. That's next on ESPN
1530. Guess I'm not going to tell you
who to bet. Cincy 360 continues on ESPN 1530, Cincinnati's sports station.
Skyline Chili, Cincy 360 show on ESPN 1530, presented by Skyline Chili. Stop in for a cheese coney or 7 of them.
Or a Cholito.
Stop in this weekend, feeling good at Skyline
or,
time.
Jimmy goes with the chili salad he told me yesterday.
Chili salad, I'm on
Pretty
board
good.
With that.
Yeah.
Iowa minus 10.5 over Northwestern.
Oh, here we go. Cocky Moe's best bets of the week. Go ahead.
I gave you 15 last week, 11 of them hit. Gave you one yesterday.
11
hit.
Of 15. You're a pretty good free throw shooter.
That's pretty good.
That's actually kind of bad at free throws.
Handicapper wants to hit 60%. You do the math. Mississippi State getting 24.5 against Alabama. Bulldogs are better than LSU. Mobile quarterback.
They're better than LSU.
Yes.
Woo!
Not better than Alabama. They'll keep it
Woo!
Within 24.5.
I could see that.
I have twice this year told you to take the under on a UMass game.
Mm-hmm.
Just follow my advice.
I'm going to right now.
Okay.
www.theplaceigotobet.com.
UMass and BYU, the posted total is under 60. The Cougars are 119th in the country in offensive efficiency. The game is going to be at noon, which is 10 a.m. for BYU, and UMass is still using a backup quarterback, and the weather is expected to be awful. You do the math. Take the under. Ohio State's a great value pick, only laying 3.5 against Michigan State. Buckeyes are a mess defensively. Spartans don't have the offense to take advantage. Give me the Buckeyes. I mean, Georgia laying 14 against Auburn. Georgia's played really well against Florida and Kentucky. Top 10 in the country in offensive efficiency, defensive efficiency, and special teams efficiency. Only team in the country.
Are these posted on your blog yet?
The blog of football guesses is up and running. It's a work in progress. It's not posted yet.
Not posted yet. So it will be later this afternoon.
Yes.
Okay.
Cincinnati is laying 14 against USF. Take the Bearcats.
Oh, take the Bearcats. All right.
Houston laying 4.5. Bearcats need the Cougars to come up big tomorrow, and they will, and they'll cover against Temple.
Are we done? I don't want to interrupt Cocky Mo.
Stuckey's wrong. I'm taking the Dolphins. I'm getting 9.5. You could say the Dolphins haven't beaten anybody. Who have the Packers beaten?
Nah, I'm so low on the Packers right now. I'm low on Aaron Rodgers and fantasy. I'm low on all of them. I'm low on the Packers.
Most perplexing team in the NFL might be Chicago, who last couple of weeks has feasted on teams that have no skill players.
Mm-hmm.
The Lions are getting 6.5 points. They still have a good quarterback. Marvin Jones is still there. Take the 6.5 points. Seattle is getting 10 against the Rams. L.A. wins the game outright. Seattle covers. The Rams don't blow anybody out. Mm-hmm. As good as they are, and good quarterbacks have had a field day against that secondary, and Marcus Peters is not good anymore.
He's mad. Did you see him? He's mad right now.
Atlanta's laying 4 against Cleveland, and the Chiefs are going to win outright against the Cardinals. But give me the 16.5 points coming off a bye, a decent defense, and the Chiefs have beaten one team by 17
points. You tease some Reds news. I don't mean to interrupt your blog, or, you know,
I figured I'd help people.
You're trying to make the listeners rich. I get it.
Help people's bank accounts
first. I get
first.
It. You're trying to make the listeners rich.
Buster Olney of ESPN.com has written about a potential trade involving Corey Kluber, and he mentions teams that could be a fit, and he says the Reds.
Uh-oh.
Trying to take a step forward, need starting pitching. They've made it clear they have the money to spend. Usually elite free agent starters won't even consider the Reds because they play in a hitter-friendly bandbox, so a trade for Kluber could make sense as the best avenue to land a high-end and affordable starter. Now, Kluber next year, he's 33 years old, Cy Young a winner twice, including 2017, going to make $17 million next year. There's a team option for 2020, so it's a large chunk of dough. I do think it's a reasonably affordable chunk of dough. You worry a little bit about the years, and that's going to cost you a lot. You're going to have to send a lot to Cleveland, mm-hmm. but you talk about high-end arm, there it is.
You giving up Senzel? You're giving up Green.
Because
if I'm the Indians, those are the two guys on my list.
Yep.
Giving up Taylor Trammell?
You're going to have to give up.
I'd probably take two of those three.
You're going to have to give up something huge. You're going to have to give to get better starting pitching. If you're going to do it via trade, which means the guy can't make up his mind whether he wants to pitch a Great American Ballpark or not. He has to come here because you traded for him. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to give up something of value. No one should be untouchable.
If I was
no
the Indians, you know what I would say? From the Indians' perspective, I'd say, all right, we're open to this, but I want Luis Castillo and Nick Senzel.
Sure. The asking price,
that's a lot.
If Corey Kluber's available, there's going to be 1,000 teams trying to get him. Mm-hmm. They can just bump up the asking price. You got to be willing to part. Now, is there a place I won't go to? Of course. But the asking price is going to be high. If you want the Reds to make that kind of splash, understand they're going to have to give up a ton. The good news is they do have a little bit of a surplus.
It's time for Cincy 360 Quick Hits on ESPN 1530.
Quick Hits is a service of Rumpke Restoration. Have water damage or needs your carpets clean? Maybe a flooded basement has left a mess. Go to RumpkeRestores.com. You mentioned it, Mo. UC and USF tomorrow night. You like the Bearcats big.
I like the Bearcats to win the game. This is a huge opportunity. If Cincinnati wins over USF and Central Florida takes care of business against Navy, I think there's a better than average chance College Game Day is going to be in Orlando.
Ooh.
And the Bearcats are going to have a huge opportunity.
You'll be in Orlando.
To beat a UCF team, which hasn't happened since the week after Luke Fickell got the job at UC.
You see this weather? Get to Orlando if you can.
There
enjoy the
could
weather.
Be, depending on the time of the game, a potential basketball issue.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Is basketball in Orlando? The answer, I know the answer to that.
There's a good chance. If the game is at noon, I'm not going to Orlando. If the game is not at noon, I'm going to Orlando.
Okay.
I don't think the game's going
to
be at noon.
I just hope you get to go to Orlando. That's all. I'm rooting for you.
If game day is there, you'll see me with one of those signs. There'll be a gigantic ad for our show College Game Day.
It should 15:30, and it should say James Erpine is right about John Ross.
We'll see what happens this week.
That's right. UK versus Southern Illinois tonight. Interesting matchup for the Wildcats. They're coming off of just getting ran out of the gym against the best team I've ever seen.
Yeah, look, there's a lot of college basketball and football this
overreaction
weekend.
Monday.
Of all the stuff this weekend, the two that are most interesting to me, the three that are most interesting to me are, number one, the UC football game tomorrow. Number two, the Kentucky basketball game tonight, which you'll hear live on ESPN 1530. Not that Southern Illinois presents much of a challenge, but I just watched them get boat raced unlike any time I've seen a John Calipari team get boat raced. Mm-hmm. I want to see how they bounce back. The third game this weekend that I'm interested in is Scott versus Johnson Central.
And I let you get that in real quick.
Kentucky High School Football Playoffs.
Bleacher Report says John Ross's contract is the worst contract on the Bengals. You agree?
How could a rookie contract be a terrible contract?
I have no idea what the hell they're talking about. I ranted about Ross yesterday. This is ridiculous.
It's a rookie contract. Like,
it's the dumbest thing I've ever
seen.
They're
paying him what the ninth overall pick gets. Correct. I have a hard time calling a rookie contract a bad contract.
Now, if you want to say it's a bad pick, fine, but that's what he's going to make. That's what the ninth pick makes, period. I'm with you.
And I would say the same thing about Cedric Aboye or anybody else.
And by the way, they have a bad contract. Dre Kirkpatrick is worth $50 million.
Yep.
What are you doing? That's just proof that the John Ross haterade. That all these people are drinking. That's proof of it right there. It's ridiculous. He's Mo. I'm James. That's going to do it for us. The Stephen A. Smith Show is next. Have a great weekend. We're back at it Monday at noon. Mo at it today, 6:05 down the hall on 700 WLW. You're working tonight.
Oh.
So get to it. Have a great weekend. I'm James Rapine. Thanks for listening on ESPN 1530.